Question everything.
Hello, friends. Welcome back. You're listening to Question Everything. My name is Kelsey Cortez. And wow, I don't think I've ever said my last name on here. But yeah, that's me. I'm also related to the Spy Kids. No, not really. But actually, when I was a kid, I always told people that because I do have the last name, Cortez. But I mean, technically now I'm kind of a spy, you know? You know what I mean? If you're new here, I talk about stuff that is typically considered a fairy tale or fantasy. Some may think I'm insane or on drugs, but I just say I'm thinking outside of the box. So if you have an open mind, you are more than welcome to stay. I mean, even if you have a closed mind too, you're welcome to stay. But anyway, this episode will be all alien related. And I'm actually so excited because if you've been with me for a while, you guys know how obsessed I am with our alien friends and enemies. I do have to give a trigger warning or disclaimer because the story I will be telling today involves a victim of the pedophile ring and it gets pretty gruesome, so I will warn you before I talk about the details, but just want to let you guys know. But first, let's dive into some recent news. Well, quite honestly, you guys know I don't listen to the media, let alone turn on the TV, unless it's to watch a debate for kicks and giggles, or watch SNL make fun of a debate, or if my parents have it on in the background. But more recently, I haven't even been paying attention to like news articles as much. I just honestly see whatever is trending on Twitter or whatever people are talking about. And I've never felt more at peace with just not paying attention and not knowing, so I highly recommend. And a lot of you reached out and asked if I can talk more about personal growth and kind of like the Four Agreements episode. And I have been including more of it in the beginning of my episodes or tying it in somehow, so I'm just gonna keep doing that. So that being said, I will give a fair warning that most of what I say isn't to offend anyone. I know it sometimes sounds offensive, but it's just for me to help you guys grow mentally. In fact, growth, mental growth, comes from being uncomfortable. So if anything that I say next triggers you in some way, I challenge you to dive in and see where it's coming from. I posted an update on Ghislaine that someone sent me through Twitter, because like I said, all the news I get is you guys sending me links or new stuff that you guys found. And this was a couple days ago. Since I haven't really been paying attention to recent events, I've just been doing my own research and studying spiritual coaching stuff. I wasn't aware of how old that post was. I guess it's like a week old. I don't know. And everyone and their mothers commented on my post on Instagram and said, "This is old news. Check your research before posting this. This is old. You're not very good at this." I literally had to turn off the comments. And I just want to say that this may be old news, but it was new to me and maybe a lot of other people who follow me that don't want to listen to any of the news or media. So that's why I posted it. I'm not posting to be the best researcher or the best investigator. I'm posting things to keep you guys in the loop of what I find out. And there was really no reason for the attacks or for me to argue with anyone, so I just turned off the comments. And if you listen to the bonus, you know that my perspective on things has shifted a little bit. And I mean, I'm starting to learn that this awakening has layers. It's like healing. You don't stop healing. It's not linear. Every day there's a opportunity to learn something new. In all honesty, everyone's perception changes every day with new information, whether that be spiritual or whether you want to admit it or not. But I just want to tell you that if you change your perspective on, let's say, something as simple as yesterday you like pickles and today you woke up and you don't like them anymore, it's okay to change your opinion or perspective on things. It's okay. I feel like this society is so quick to shut you down if you change your mind about anything. They'll call you fake or contradicting or whatever. But that's only furthering people to limit their mindset, and it's quite honestly counterproductive. I actually saw a couple people talking about how in this election they're voting blue, or in the last election they voted for Trump, and in this election they're voting for Biden. And the hate the hate that these people got, like, what the fuck is that going to do? It's only going to make them want to hide and never speak out on what they think in the moment is best for everyone. It honestly blows my mind. I mean, from my observations, the majority of people want Biden. And those people are imposing their views, their democratic or left beliefs on just about anyone. And once a person is like, you know, maybe they're right, I'm going to vote for Biden too, then the same people who were forcing their opinions on others are like, oh, you're so fake. You're just doing this for attention. You don't care about us or what Biden stands for. You're an enemy. This is what I'm talking about. How do you want or expect someone to change when they do, and then you get mad, or you think they are faking it or doing it for attention? Like, make it make sense. But I want to clarify, if you're new here, I'm not for either side. I don't believe in the elections. I didn't even vote, and I'm sounding very repetitive for those who listen to my podcast religiously. But for those of you who are new here, I'm just clearing the air. The reason I'm using this as an example is because this is the majority of the low vibrational arguments that are occurring on this planet right now. One of the interviews that I watched on a man who I will be talking about, and he was also a part of the secret space program, he said that we need to be more consciously aware as a collective before things get worse. Both him and the person who was interviewing him both said the same things. And she even made a video back in August, because I was looking at her videos after I watched the interview. And she said the reason we aren't ascending or bringing peace to this planet is because we are our own blockage. Like, we are blocking ourselves. We need to drop the labels, drop the judgment and the anger. I've said this before, but they have brainwashed us into losing our individuality. Like how I mentioned in the bonus that one of the Trilateral Commission's goals is to create these groups like ADL, BLM, feminist groups as a way to group up people, team people up, so they become so attached to those groups that they start to identify with them. And once you start identifying with a certain group, political party, movement, sports team, or even race, then they got you. They can control and enslave you, for lack of better terms, based on how predictable you have made yourself. This is a hard pill to swallow. And again, if you're triggered, this might mean that you identify with a label or even a music artist or a fan group, because I was a Belieber at one point, so I know what that's like. And I even experienced like the Katy Perry fans attacking me and how much they identified with that fan group. But it honestly has to be talked about, especially because we are running out of time. And he was saying that during the interview, he said, we are running out of time and we are focusing on the wrong things. Honestly, right now, they're doing such a great job at dividing us and taking our focus away from what we should actually be focusing on, which is ourselves. This doesn't mean that you can't or shouldn't like a certain group or have similar interests or even help with a movement. But stop identifying yourself with them and judging or name-calling someone who doesn't agree. Just drop the labels. Labels are the reason we are so divided. Once we identify, we attach. And once we attach, there are emotions involved. Ironically, in The Mastery of Self, the book I talked about in the bonus, and this other book called This Moment is Your Miracle that I'm also reading. You guys know I like to read like 9 books at one time. But they both mention these fake masks or labels that we wear every day. We are disconnecting with our authentic selves. And the more we do this, the more we give them power, aka the elite or whatever you want to call them. He gave an example of people who are huge sports fans. Some sports fans identify heavily with their team that when their team loses, it alters or shifts their whole mood for days. He said that there have even been incidents, and I mean, we've all seen it. You probably know someone who's a crazy sports fan, that after Super Bowl or any big sports game, the losing team is usually the one rioting or arguing with the winning team. There was one specific story that he talked about where a soccer team lost. These fans were crossing the street, and this guy who is attached to the losing team ran these people over and killed someone over a sports game. Like, do you guys see where I'm coming from? Do you see how insane this sounds now? I think it took me detaching from my old perspectives to actually see how crazy this world actually is. Not that I didn't think it was crazy before, but you know what I mean. But like, don't get me wrong, there is no harm in little rivalry, but once you start emotionally attaching yourself to these teams, groups, etc., you're allowing them and whoever else, really, to control you because you become emotionally vulnerable. All this lower vibrational name-calling, insulting, arguing, and even harming each other physically is keeping the vibration of the planet at such a low state that it's almost impossible for us to get to where we need to be. And it's not just the elite who are being able to control us, like other people are subconsciously grouping us together. For example, oh, you believe in Pizzagate? You must be a Trump supporter. Or, oh, you support Black Lives Matter? You must be a terrorist. Or, oh, you believe in aliens? You must be an idiot. Like, what the fuck? Do you guys see how ridiculous this sounds? Or am I just going crazy? We sound like children on the playground. And honestly, it took me a while. Like I said, it took me a while to come to accept this because I identified with a lot of movements, a lot of groups. The only way you can get to your authentic self is to drop the labels, drop the attachments, forgive yourself, forgive your past, get in tune with yourself, and stop judging others. Once you detach from your ego, everything will change. And it's so hard to do. I'm still working on it. I know I portray the ego as such a bad thing. I mean, the ego can protect us sometimes, but there has to be a balance. You can't have your ego always coming out at all times. That's your fake personality. And this lady who did the interview with him, she also said that. She said we live in a personality matrix that's fake identities and fake personalities because that's not really who we are. The guy I will be talking about also says, the best advice I can give everyone right now is stop worrying about external problems, stop feeding into them. They are just distractions, so you won't tap into your true being. Once you tap into yourself and become your authentic self, which at its core is pure unconditional love, then you will automatically be able to deprogram yourself from this personality matrix. And then you can start generating your light on this planet to help the collective. It's like a domino effect. The villain in your story is just someone who isn't living up to your values of what you think they should live up to. And all that judgment is coming from your ego and trying to make your ego feel better. Because in one way or another, the person who is triggering you is triggering something inside you that you probably need to heal, let go, or forgive yourself for. And I'm not trying to sound hypocritical because it sounds like I'm judging everyone else, but I just want the best for everyone, and this division isn't helping anyone. I've also made some observations about how people have gotten more sensitive as time goes on, and I think like my generation and the younger generation are even more sensitive. I think I talked about this in one of the episodes, how this generation and the last generation need so many trigger warnings and are very soft. And I've always wondered why my friends and I always talked about this. And I always thought it was because social media has an impact on our emotional psyche, which it's true, and it does. But now I understand that it's also because society, pop culture, religion, Hollywood, education has all molded us into these groups. They have strategically made us forget our individuality and emotionally attached to these fake personalities. I mean, I think social media has helped the elite do this because we're all more connected online and we all identify more with these groups. And they've made us emotionally attached to these fake personalities, fake identities to further enslave us. In David Icke's book, The Answer, his newest one, he actually has a whole chapter called The New Wokers, which is basically like our generation. And he says how sensitive we are in it, and he talks about it. And at first, like, I was like, okay, I see where you're coming from. And like, I was a little like bothered by it, you know, because we are pretty sensitive and I would consider myself sensitive too. But like, I see where he's coming from because that's keeping us from our true identity because we have to face those triggers sometimes and we have to face those triggers to forgive ourselves, to heal. Sometimes when something traumatic happens, yes, you do need a grieving period to just not talk about it and handle it on your own. But then after a while, you do have to face your shadow and do some shadow work and fully let go and heal and forgive yourself. And I feel like this generation wasn't taught to do that. And that's why we are so sensitive. It's just keeping us further and further away from our true being. And I've said this a million times, but information on the same topics keep coming up at such a synchronized time. Like, I came across the video of that lady talking about this because I was watching the Secret Space Program interview. And then I just happened to pick up that book, well, both of the books that I mentioned, but I've had these for months. So now I'm starting to think that this is just my way of getting downloads to help you guys and obviously help myself too, because I am healing at the same time that you guys are. We're in this together. So anyway, I hope that kind of helps someone or gives you a better outlook on things, a different perspective. So just drop the labels. Just drop them. Don't identify yourself with them. Doesn't mean don't help people out or don't have the same interest, but just don't attach yourself, you know? Hope that made sense. And I hope it did trigger you in some way so you can work on that or see in what ways you have attached yourself to an identity or something like that. So anyway, that was this week's part of personal growth. What's in the news? I think I started with that and then I just got off topic. But this is new to me, but Ghislaine dropped some names recently and they were all politicians, both Democratic and Republican, who were accused of rape or sexual misconduct with children. And I hope more names are dropping soon or more of the truth comes out. There was also an investigation that started on the Vatican with all their pedophile related allegations, so this should get spicy. Again, I'm sorry if this is old news to you, but like I said, I'm not paying attention to recent news. So first, I want to say that my research for this was all over the place. I did start trying to research the Secret Space Program because in my books, they don't really mention it as much or in detail. And then I was coming across a lot of different people with experiences who were in the Secret Space Program. And a lot of them were saying different things, but not because this is fake. Well, it might be. But considering how many people have come out with their experiences and they're so detailed, I don't think it's fake. But I've also concluded that there is more than one Secret Space Program. And I'm going to briefly go over the 10 that I found. So Gary McKinnon hacked into the NASA secret database in 2002, and he found secret documents that NASA had hidden away from the public. And there was pictures of UFOs, there was documents from the programs, logs for space missions that didn't exist to the public, and images taken by International Space Station. All this led to the obvious worry that there were numerous details about space exploration and alien contact that have been hidden from us. These are the 10 groups that he found. So the first group is Solar Warden. This secret space program was developed in the 1960s and 70s. It went into operation allegedly in the 80s. Everyone knows about its more famous Star Wars Brother space program, but not many people were told about this one. When you consider what is involved, you can see why. In essence, Solar Warden was apparently developed with the help of friendly aliens to help us. They helped us build a fleet of spaceships to defend against hostile aliens. The story goes that hostile aliens had made contact with the US government in the 1950s, and a deal was struck to protect Earth in return for making the US all-powerful and not attacking us. The aliens were allowed to abduct a set of number of humans per year to experiment on. The trouble is that the hostile aliens started taking more humans than they agreed to. This led to the fleet of the Solar Warden ships being developed to patrol our space borders and stop them. The next one is Interplanetary Corporate Conglomerate. While the purpose of Solar Warden is to protect Earth, the ICC is all about trade between humans and aliens. The story goes that various non-aerospace companies, including Lockheed, developed aircraft that could reach far into space and other worlds. Once this was done, they set about developing trade links with various alien species for lots of money as the ICC. Apparently, humans are the best engineers in the galaxy, and so we have items that are in great demand by the aliens. Rumors abound of the ICC setting up colonies on Mars with the sole purpose of doing trade with the aliens. It is said that these Mars trade bases are staffed by human slaves taken from Earth to do so when young. And that's actually a story that correlates with what the guy said that I will be talking about. The next one is German Breakaway Civilization. This one is from the beginning of the Nazi presence in German politics in the early 1930s. It is no secret that occultism was practiced in Germany at this time, and the Vril Society was one of the most well-known occult societies. Maria Orsic was a high-up member in the Vril Society and claimed to have talked to aliens from a planet called Aldebaran while in trance state one night. Orsic also claimed that they told her how to build an intergalactic spacecraft to take her and any followers to the faraway planet of Aldebaran. This is where it gets interesting. Osric and her followers in the Vril Society disappeared without a trace toward the end of World War II. No one knew where they went. Could they have really gone to Aldebaran? So I have heard about this girl, Maria Orsic. She was like this really pretty blonde channeler. I think honestly she was an alien because she's looks like that Palladian, really pretty human, I guess. All Palladians look like a really pretty, like, angel-like alien. She was used to channel all these aliens, but she thought she was doing something good. They were telling her, obviously, they wouldn't tell her she's going to do something bad. But they were telling her that this was going to help society because she was getting technology for us. But of course, it wasn't for us. It was for them. Anyways, the next one is Project Moonshadow. Project Moonshadow was first aired by insider Randy Kramer. He claimed that the program was a plot by the U.S. military to genetically engineer super empathetic embryo fetuses that were then implanted in human women. When they were born, they would be abducted from their homes and flown to the moon on the spaceships to train as super soldiers. This training was not as terrible as such military programs and tutored them in telepathic communication with aliens as well as fighting and agility. It seems the end goal was to produce an army of super soldiers who could fight against any unwanted alien threat. This one seems pretty believable just because I also watched, The Stan Romanek story on YouTube. It's a free documentary and it's his story. Okay, so the thing with Stan Romanek, like, his stuff actually aligns with a lot of what I've been finding out, not just through these stories of experiences or this information, but also through channelers and what they channel and what they're doing in space with our embryos and our DNA and stuff. But after he came out with his story, they caught him with child pornography on his computer. And I think I've talked about this when I talked about the Stephen Greer episode, because Stephen Greer also interviewed him or was friends with him. So that's why I was like, oh, he's friends with pedophiles. But I mean, he is friends with Hillary Clinton and the Rothschilds and Rockefellers. So that I still am questioning. But I think because I was looking this up and I was like, well, shit, like, I don't know what to believe, because if he is a pedophile, like, is he one of them? Was he brainwashed? Like, what happened? So a lot of people believe that he was set up by the government after he came out with all his evidence, because his evidence is pretty good. I mean, there's one videotape where it looks like an alien doll. Doesn't look that real, but the other stuff kind of looks real, and especially the voice memos. And they kept calling him a starseed, and they kept saying that when they were abducting him, they were using his something to create babies and all this stuff, as well as another woman named Victoria, I believe. And another thing that really connected the dots was he was waking up with strange things on his skin, like markings. And one in specific was a triangle. There was multiple triangle markings on his skin. And in Dolores Cannon's book, all her patients have the same markings, or even some that you have to go under a black light to see them. And he had the same ones. So I was like, either everyone's lying or I'm just connecting dots. I mean, question everything, but still. So maybe that's why the government set him up with this child pornography. So people would be like, oh, then I don't care about his story then. Like, he's faking it. He was just doing this for attention or whatever, and totally discredited him. So, I mean, question everything. I'm not saying he's not a pedophile. I'm not saying he's innocent. But who knows? Another thing that really stood out to me in his documentary was he had knee problems and he was going to go in for surgery. But one day he just woke up with like nails in his knee, and his knee was perfectly fine. And then he found his knee brace outside, like all burnt up. So he thinks that they abducted him and helped him heal his knee, which I also believe, because in Dolores Cannon's book, all the experiences that I've read so far, most of the aliens that abducted them have been trying to help them or help improve our DNA. There was even one story where this girl was sick. I think I mentioned this story before. I don't know. I've been talking about this book for so long, but she was sick with a fever and it was getting really bad. And then these aliens took her and cured her, and the next day she was fine. And so I feel like they're helping us, because there are benevolent beings that are helping us, as well as, you know, there are the evil ones too. I feel like he was a starseed, and like I said, he documented all his evidence. He kept getting calls from this girl, and this girl kept calling him dad, but he didn't have a kid. He had stepkids, but not a little girl. So I'm assuming, well, I mean, he says that he thinks that they used his DNA to create alien babies, and she was calling and like warning him about the dark aliens getting to him. And now I'm starting to think the dark aliens are the government. You know, I mean, we know that they're the ones who set him up. But she kept saying like, dad, like, you're a starseed, like, you know you are, and all this. So, and we know starseeds are good. Like, most of us in my generation are starseeds, and the younger generation. So I don't know, got me questioning a lot more things. Sorry, got off topic. The next program was the Dark Fleet. As we have noted above, so the last space program, the Nazi era Germany was obsessed with the occult and space. This was true of the whole of the Third Reich and Hitler in particular. When not digging for the Ark of the Covenant, he was desperate to conquer space for his own ends. Many insiders claim that the Nazis made contact with an alien collective called the Draco. Course. In early 1930, the Draco were a collection of several different alien species, all controlled by an artificial intelligence that wanted to destroy all biological life. All this made the Nazis and Dracos a good match. In return for space-faring technology, the Nazis agreed to a man of Dark Fleet for the Draco. This would protect the worlds that they had already conquered and also help to take over new ones. I mean, from, I think, last episode, I mentioned before that Hitler is a reptilian, so that would make sense that he has connections. The next one is Martian Defense Force. Now, this one is crazy. If you have seen the film Total Recall, it is almost a real-life version of that. It is claimed that there exists a space program called the Martian Defense Force that exists and protects colonies already on the planet Mars from alien attacks. Human soldiers are trained up for this purpose and serve a 20-year tour of duty. The interesting bit is what happened when their 20 years are done. It is claimed by insiders that these soldiers have their memory of the whole 20 years wiped and are sent back in time to the same spot where they were taken. It is believed that only 2% of the soldiers who have this done ever regain their true memory. And one of them is, again, the one I will be talking about. The next one is Earth Alliance. If you have ever watched the TV show Babylon 5, then you will get the general idea of Earth Alliance. It was set up by the governments on the planet to protect us all from external alien threats to life here. What is interesting is that their main foe is a Draco, who we have mentioned previously. It seems that the Draco are intent on destroying us all through inflicting disease, war, starvation, and wage slavery on all humans. The Earth Alliance's sole purpose is to stop this from happening, and in recent years it claims it has begun to turn the tide. Insiders claim that the Draco have their own operatives on Earth in the form of Illuminati and Dark Fleet forces. It is the job of the Earth Alliance to flesh these forces out and save the planet from destruction. This sounds like the Galactic Federation of Light, and I'm assuming that's their force on the moon. So that would make sense. And now that I know more about the bases on the moon, and you guys know how in the moon episode I said that I don't know how the Galactic Federation of Light is inside the moon as well as other bases. Well, it's kind of like it's a world. It's like different colonies, different cities, different civilizations, and there are wars out there, so there are good and bad beings on every planet. The next one is Global Galactic League of Nations. For many people, the Roswell incident in America was the only example they have seen of an apparent alien craft. It would seem, however, that this is not true. Many insiders claim that the Nazis found crashed alien crafts in the early 1930s when exploring the Himalayan mountains. It is also thought that the Russians found their own crashed alien ship in Siberia around the same time. What all this meant was that three powers could reverse engineer a spacecraft of their own. When this was found out by the countries involved, the Global Galactic League of Nations was set up to keep peace. This is meant to still be in operation today. I'm assuming, like I said, I think these benevolent good groups are a part of the Galactic Federation. The next one is Military Industrial Complex Secret Space Program. What many of the secret space programs agree on is that the edge of what is really happening above us should be released to the public. Where they can't agree, though, is how it should happen. While the Illuminati want a gradual release of the information, their Earth Alliance believe mankind would be better off knowing it all at once. like ripping off the bandage. The issue there, though, is the absolute chaos it would cause for years to come. The military-industrial complex secret space program is a way of bridging this gap in knowledge for people. It mainly uses mass media to feed details of suppressed space programs into the public world and people's minds. Over time, the knowledge would build up until we all have the true picture of what is happening. That gets me thinking now. Like, what if they're dropping little hints, especially right now with all the like life on Venus and the spacecraft and the Pentagon or whatever, and they're doing that so we can connect the dots? Instead of just like all at once, I am starting to question more now. But if it's through the media, I don't know. I mean, the Illuminati does want us to know. So I guess we'll see. Okay, and the last one is Secret Space Program Alliance. This is the big daddy of all the secret space programs, and luckily one that is intent on saving mankind. It is like the Earth Alliance, but exists completely in our outer space and has direct contact with many alien species. It is even rumored that these guys have a seat in the Galactic Federation, which is made up of all of them and lots of different alien races. The goal of this program is to reveal all the knowledge around space to the public to save us from the Draco and free our minds. They believe that this will then usher in a new golden age where we can exist both here and in space with no fear. It is, though, that they in effect control all the other space programs such as the Earth Alliance. As you can see, there are many reported secret space programs that may be happening as we speak. Although it is hard to say whether they exist or not for sure, if they do, then it would be quite a shock for all of us. The only way to know the truth is in time. So obviously I got all these from this one article. From all the evidence that I'm starting to get, even from channelers, they all talk about the same things. So, okay, so I'm going to be talking about this man's experience. His name is Tony Rodriguez. He went through what is called the 20 and back. You guys can connect the dots with whatever space program I already talked about. He kind of talks a little bit about a couple. The term 20 and back refers to the 20 years of commitment that these quote-unquote military men and women make when they sign up to go into space. The reason I do quote-unquote is because they kind of kidnap these people. They don't really agree. So, I mean, they do end up agreeing by force. So it's the time that they are sent into space or the amount of time they are forced to serve as slaves. Recent whistleblowers divulge their involvement in the SSP are Tony Rodriguez and Michael Gerloff. Their testimonies are remarkable and echo the accounts and experiences of many other whistleblowers who have recalled lost memories and or gone public with their story of having been part of the SSP. These include Michael Ralph, Arthur Newman, Andy Basiago, Bernard Mendez, Michael Prince, Max Spears, Randy Kramer, and Corey Good. Their accounts vary in credibility, however, the similarities are striking. Many of these men talk about having set foot on Mars, but only some specifically refer to the 20 and back military program, as Rodriguez and Gerloff do. So basically, they take them at a young age for 20 years, and then after they're done with them, they send them back in time to the exact moment where they were abducted. I know it's hard to wrap your mind around, so keep an open mind throughout this whole episode. There's a lot of bending time and space that goes into these programs, I guess, and they're still happening to this day. But Tony's story had the most details because he was the only one who could remember most of what had happened to him. And I'm going to give a brief overview of what happened to him, and then I will explain the details that he said. So in May of 2015, he had an MRI scan done, and within weeks, he had huge chunks of years of memories come back that connected all his odd memories of time served both on Earth and in space programs. He doesn't know if the MRI somehow triggered his memories, but once he started accepting them, they all came back. Tony Rodriguez was abducted around the age of 9 or 10, and eventually ended up in the 20 and back program. He claims he was abducted by 5 aliens after teasing another kid in his grade school whose father was high up in the Illuminati. He had gray ETs in his house. He met a funny reptilian who joked around with him. He ended up in a situation where he was used with other children as sex slaves in Seattle at age 13. He underwent brutal training, including sexual abuse, being forced to attend satanic ritual, and engage in cannibalism. He or his group tested as Theta, aka Psychic. Later on, at age 16 in 1988, he went to the moon. During his time in SSP, Tony was treated as a slave, and he had to work incredibly hard. He and other recruits were treated with a carrot and stick mentality. So, for example, they were either rewarded or punished. He worked as cargo officer on a ship within the solar system, dropping off cargo at various bases, including moons of other planets. He reveals how some of the cargo was advanced alien technology, nuclear missiles far from sophisticated than terrestrial nuclear weapons. And when he talked about these weapons, he kind of sounded like Halo. I don't know if you guys ever played that game, Halo. I played it when I was young with my brother and my cousins, and I love that game, but I have a feeling that was like predictive programming for these kids because that's what they worked on or worked for. Okay. He mostly worked on Ceres. It's a large asteroid in the solar system, and it's between Mars and Jupiter. There was a large base concealed in darkness at a location on Ceres where the sun doesn't shine. Tony recalls visiting many Earth-like planets during his SSP time that had other humanoid beings. The fact that he recalls so many details from his time working in the SSP is amazing. For instance, he saw the Nazi eagle a lot on the uniforms of officials who commanded him, sometimes with a swastika below, sometimes with other symbols. He saw Auna Mons out of the spaceship window. He saw other spaceships and hangars. He described a giant train station in Ceres with giant horses in an underground cavern. The slave workers were constantly spied on. They wore like necklaces, kind of like a shock collar. Despite being a slave, he occasionally got paid small amounts, $20 in a currency called francs, which looked like an old German currency. There were facial recognition technology devices for shopping there. There were automatic translators, English to German, so he could converse with some of the grumpy middle-aged female German shop workers there. There were artificial telepathy with machine as opposed to natural organic telepathy. And he used an incredibly fast train system there for transportation. This train system used magnetics. You could get anywhere on Ceres within 30 minutes, despite the fact that it's 580 miles in diameter. He had his own life there and even said it was like a city. Tony since has been an advisor to a foundation in regards to the pedogate elite practices in an effort to stop human trafficking and has worked with hundreds of people with similar types of memories. Okay, so that was a brief overview, but his details get more intense than that. So I'm gonna try to group this together as best as I can because he just like spit out a bunch of details and some of them weren't in order of the timeline, so I'm trying to put them all together. So he recalls being taken by these gray beings and some reptilians and taken to a lab, and in that lab they took his consciousness and they placed it into a clone. He went through a brutal MK Ultra program, sleep deprivation training. They took away his flight or fight response. They took away his Earth memory. They made him watch brutal videos of satanic sacrifices and murder on loop. So in April of 1982, when he was in fourth grade, this kid, whose dad was supposedly high up in the Illuminati, didn't like Tony. They didn't get along, and he thought Tony was like the cocky guy. I'm assuming he bullied him. Then one day when they had a science fair, his dad happened to show up as the judge of the science fair. This kid then pointed him out to his dad and said, "That's him." I'm assuming this kid knew his dad was recruiting people. Tony said he overheard some of their conversation because they kept pointing at him, and the dad was saying stuff along the lines that, "I can't do that to him just because you don't like him," and he just saw them arguing. Then that same night was when he apparently was taken from his bed. The next thing he remembers is seeing this gray being in his room. He thought it was his dad with a mask and, like I said, a couple reptilians. The next thing he knows, he's being cloned in a lab. So he lived in this clone body while he was in the space program. He didn't say this, but I'm assuming they cloned them so their original body doesn't age. And maybe they keep their original body in like a tube or something. Because why else would they clone him? I'm gonna buy his book because he published one, and then if I get more details, I'll report back. So anyway, after the 20 years went by, he woke up in the same place he was taken, same age and everything. So what they do is keep you for 20 years and then send you back in time after those 20 years. But see, this is where I have some questions. When did the family notice that he's gone for those 20 years? So my assumption here is that when they take him back in time, it erases the other timeline where he's missing, right? Because that would mess up the timeline, right? Like I said, I'm gonna read his book. then hopefully it will make sense, because what he was spewing was just a bunch of details. He said they do this for only 20 years because the aliens have found that if they do this for longer, people end up mentally insane. I mean, I'm surprised that people aren't insane after 20 years. It's still a long time. But he seems to be reasonably sane when he talks and how he acts. And every time he did an interview, because I watched like three, he seems pretty normal and he's not reading from a script or anything. So anyways, back to the story. When he woke up the next day, he felt off. He went to school and was forgetting a lot of things. He forgot where the bathroom was, and they even had to send him home. He then lived a normal human life, but felt weird his whole life and different from everyone. He also kept having weird dreams and flashbacks and always wondered where they came from. There was also strange things that occurred in his human life. Like one time the doctor called to do a checkup on him, and even his mom thought that this was strange. When they went to the doctor, the waiting room was full of other kids from his school who were also called by the same doctor. And when he went in, it wasn't his usual doctor. It was some brain surgeon who was filling in for the doctor because apparently the original one went on vacation. He thought that this was strange because why is an overqualified doctor filling in for a pediatrics doctor? And then it got weirder because all he did was check his vitals and ask him about his dreams. He kept asking him, "Have you had any strange dreams lately? What have you dreamt of?" And kept nailing him with the same questions, and Tony got scared, so he just kept saying, "No, I don't remember my dreams. Like, I haven't had any strange dreams," even though he was having them. And now he realized that these doctors are sent undercover to make sure that these kids don't remember anything. He also realized that the other kids that were there from his school were also victims, because he started connecting the dots himself, because those were the same kids that were at the science fair. Back to his time and space. Sorry, I'm jumping back and forth because, like I said, his details were all over the place. So his clone was named Jerustik, which was German for being burnt, because he got burnt a lot. They nicknamed him Jerry. The strangest thing he was starting to make a correlation of was when he was on Earth, he could feel Jerry in space. That anytime something traumatic happened to Jerry, Tony felt it too, because essentially they were both living in the same timeline, but in parallel universes, since they sent him back in time in another timeline after they were done with him. Does that make sense? I feel like I'm confusing myself. But like I said, it's hard to wrap your mind around. A lot of people question his statements all the time. Like, isn't this just a Mandela effect? Are they just dreams? But he refuses to admit that they're dreams. He said, no, they weren't a dream, because he could physically remember a lot or physically feel things and remembers feeling things. And it didn't feel like a dream. There was too many details. He also said it couldn't have been a Mandela effect because he actually went back to Seattle to that billionaire's house where he was used as a sex slave, and everything was the same as he remembers. So first he was sent to Peru through a portal and was there for a couple years working for the evil aliens who were doing drug deals, and he was like their runner. Most of the time these slaves were just bait or runners. He was also working as an intuitive psychic for the village, and his owners would charge people to come and talk to him. So they were just using him for money, basically. After that, he was a sex slave for a billionaire in Seattle. And this was around the age of 13. So if he was taken in 82, so this is around 85 or 86, because he was 13 at the time. He has named this billionaire to researchers, but he doesn't want to disclose his name to the public because this billionaire apparently is very well known. He was also one of the first people to come out with this child satanic trafficking story before Pizzagate was even a thing, or before Jeffrey Epstein came out. And when those stories actually came out, he felt a strong connection in that these pedo rings all have the same agenda or same rituals. So this is where it gets gruesome. You've been warned. The billionaire, like all of the satanic people, was a philanthropist, or he is a philanthropist. And he funded a lot of Republican fundraisers at his house. So obviously a lot of politicians were there and big people. He had these parties, as he likes to call them, quite often. He wasn't the only boy there. There were several others, and they were legally owned by this man because he was treating his house as a foster care. And this is what I mean when I say that people adopt or foster kids for these reasons. And that's why adoption centers aren't always the greatest because they traffic children. And I've heard awful stories about CPS too, that they help with these trafficking rings. So anyways, these fundraisers would be going on all day while these kids were kept locked in their rooms. They had a strict diet, had to take pills every day, and work out. Once these fundraisers were over, he had sex parties at night. These parties happened often, and not everyone at these parties knew what was actually going on. And only a few of them were performing the satanic rituals. The rest were just there as like a sex party. I guess they enjoy that kind of thing. These boys had to go in a separate room and lay around naked and leave their mouths open. They were not allowed to close their mouths or refuse to have sex with anyone. They had security there, so if they refused or weren't behaving, they would get punished or thrown out. Jerry, aka Tony's clone, wasn't allowed to be sacrificed because he was being used as a tool in the secret space program by the Draco, but the other kids weren't so safe. The ritual he witnessed and took part in, it is really gross, so fair warning. I don't know how he could have made this up if none of the other allegations about Pizzagate had come out before he said his story, or I don't know if he has a vivid imagination, but they would take them into another room and they would slice up one of the kids after they had sex with him, and they as in the satanic pedophile reptilians, and then the blood would be dripping into a bucket, and then they all drank the blood and ate the boy. And he referred it as a communion ceremony, and they had these all the time. He said that they all wore masks, and it was very strange with props and a lot of evil satanic stuff. He said that wasn't even the worst of it, and he didn't want to give more details, but he just has to let the world know what's really going on. And during the interview that I watched, she asked him, well, didn't the other people notice what was going on? Didn't the other people stop what was actually happening? He said a couple people that were actually human did have worry in their eyes, and some of them did come up to him, say, hey, are you okay and stuff, but none of them can say anything. He said they did, but they videotape and take pictures of everything. So if anyone says anything, they're done for. Apparently, there's a lot of military men in these satanic clubs, and they have so much blackmail on everyone that it would create chaos. So that's why no one has really spoke up. I mean, not until now. And I feel like the more stuff that is being released, hopefully more blackmail will be released as well. I mean, I wouldn't want to see it, but something has to be done. So back to Tony's Earth life. So he said when Led Zeppelin, Aerosmith were popping in the 80s, and when the song Take On Me came out in his normal life, he would tell everyone that these songs are so old. And everyone would be like, no, dude, they just came out. And the reason he thought they were old was because during the same time that he was Jerry was the same time that music came out. And that was the kind of music that was played at these parties. So that's the kind of music he was hearing all the time. So he thought it was old because he lived it in another timeline. Does that make sense? And that also confirms that it wasn't a Mandela effect, because if it is a Mandela effect, then it wouldn't be the same music that we have here. He said during these parties, they had a special DJ with special clues for the people who were in on it. He remembers the DJ saying things like, do what you wish in the middle of songs, and that was their cue to get ready to be taken advantage of. This makes me so mad because this is still going on to this day, and people just think we're insane or crazy or delusional, but once this stuff all comes out, I don't want to be like, I told you so, but like, we've been trying to tell you. So the interviewer asked him why that house was only boys, and he said that they were training them to be gay, and that they weren't allowed to see other girls or watch girls on TV or anything. The girls had to be in another house. She also asked how could they do this to kids? Like, what kind of person in the right mind would want to do this? Like, who has this kind of fetish? And he said, they're not human. They take the consciousness of highly successful people, people in power, and put the reptilian Draco consciousness in them. So the powerful people are from Earth, but they have a special gene where these Dracos can live in, basically if you're a part of the bloodline. After being in that house for some time, they sent him back to the moon with 12 other kids. They were trained and used as suicide bombers to fight off other aliens who were trying to take these bases on Mars. So he went from the moon to Mars to Sears back and forth all the time, but Sears was his home base. That's where he worked most of the time. When he was on Mars, he remembers seeing this alien spider-looking creature, and the kids were sent as bait. In one mission, one of the kids ran up to the spider alien and killed both him and the spider. In another mission, Tony had lost his leg, and he said that when he woke up on base, his leg was back. So he was confirming that they have extremely advanced technology. Once the Mars program got canceled, they moved to another city inside Mars and trained him to do ship maintenance. He also wanted to clarify that there are hundreds of missions and projects going on in space, like I mentioned before, and that not all the races or projects are evil, and not all the beings are evil. He even said not all the reptilians are evil. He befriended a lot of aliens and a lot of reptilians and had his own life up there. It was really strange, honestly. He said, just how on Earth not everyone is bad, same goes for up there. He even said that there are beings who incarnated on Earth that are good, like there are aliens that incarnated on this planet. Most of these people have a harder time adjusting to Earth, and that kind of goes hand in hand with what Dolores Cannon talks about with the volunteers. He hates how desensitized we are from aliens. He said that all these Hollywood movies and video games and everything has made us so desensitized because during his human life as Tony, he'd come across people talking about aliens as if they were nothing but something on a movie screen. He said that most people don't care. And he always wanted to chime in, but obviously he would sound insane if he said anything. He said that we as humans are so wrapped up in trying to survive, trying to become rich, but life is way more than that. Life is way more than these materialistic things. He said that we all need to release these materialistic ideas and ideas of success to expand our consciousness to be prepared for what's coming next. Money and success won't help you survive, but your consciousness will. He also said there was a mission in Antarctica that he took place in as a slave or as a runner. He was sent out to do trades with these aliens who live in Antarctica, and the aliens in Antarctica are extremely intelligent. Everything these aliens do are related to business trades or building their own real estate on different planets and building their own cities and civilizations. They trade humans for technology. He said that Antarctica is way more than we think it is. There is a whole civilization of extremely intelligent beings living underneath it, and a lot of ancient artifact is kept under there, and they're like guarding that. So there's a war that they want to get those artifacts and trying to kill off those beings. He also confirmed that the Earth is not flat. He said to be careful of the PSYOP conspiracy theories. They will make these up to make the other ones sound loony. Another question the interviewer asked was, how come you guys didn't go back in time and change anything, like kill Hitler or something? And he said that there are beings who police time traveling of any kind. If anything gets changed, or if they try changing anything, the good beings or the police change it right back because it's against their universal laws and messing with our timeline. Some say the way he described the ships and everything else he saw matches what William Tompkins has also described. And William Tompkins worked for Naval Intelligence, Aerospace Engineering Research for above top secret space programs and Special Navy projects for over 50 years. William Tompkins claims to have participated in the development of anti-gravity spacecraft in the early American secret space program. Among other revelations, Tompkins is also one of several such individuals who have come forward acknowledging the existence of highly classified secret technology projects that have quietly shaped human history for decades. The interviewer also asked when the public will know about this. And he said, we're getting closer to disclosure because the Illuminati and the Federation want us to know. But there is a couple things in the way. One of the things is that all the ET races have to agree. Everyone has to give consent. Two, there's a lot of crimes that these programs have committed, obviously, like using money without Congress approval. Congress has no idea about any of this. This is why there are trillions of dollars missing. I don't know if you've seen that in the news, but even back in like 2008, I don't know, but there was like $2.3 trillion missing from the Pentagon or whatever, and then recently too. And not to mention all the fucked up shit they've done to these kids, but he believes it will become public before or during 2024. But the one thing I want to emphasize is that he keeps telling us to be prepared and get ready. He keeps saying, raise your consciousness and start working on yourself and stop falling into these distractions. So big key. Okay, well, I've tried to add as many details as I could. I've watched a bunch of his interviews and you can find them on DuckDuckGo. And honestly, after watching his interviews, I'm just like, what is life? Like, what the fuck are we doing? There's so much bigger things out there. There's so many other things going on in space and this world and beyond. And why are we worrying about little things on this planet? Like, it gets me questioning a lot of things about my personal life too. But it gives you a bigger perspective. I mean, even if this story is fake. I mean, at this point, I don't think it's fake. But who knows? He did say that there are a lot of skeptics and people who have debunked him or tried to debunk him. And honestly, like I said, he could be making all of this up, but question everything. The fact that there have been others coming out with similar stories and some recent stories too. I don't know if you guys have heard of Penny, this girl who was a part of the child trafficking ring. She came out with a story. I don't remember her last name, but she's around my age. And I think she was taken in like 2003. But she talks about the space program and being a part of the pedophile ring and also includes satanic stuff. I'm starting to think that this is where they took Ashlyn Kennedy to. Remember that one girl from TikTok that went psycho? Because all of it is making a little more sense. And the fact that they only take children. I honestly want to get you guys' opinions or if you guys know more about this. Like I said, there's a lot of different information online and that's why I don't really like getting my information from online. But I do want to try to get more books on this. Most of my books are just like an overview of everything, not really specific topics. I have bought so many books that I'm just like, I need to finish at least one before I buy a new one. But once I start reading more about it or getting more into space stuff, because obviously this is my favorite topic, I will let you guys know. And I'm trying to think if I forgot anything because there was so much information. Like I said, I try to cover everything important. He obviously mentions a lot more, a lot of their equipment, a lot of their... They have this thing where they can see through time and see in the future and see in the past. A lot of their buildings are from ancient alien artifacts. Like, that's how they made their apartments, I guess, in these planets. He said that Saturn is off limits, and I think it has something to do with the Saturn cube or the Satan connection to that, but apparently it's completely off limits. They never went to Saturn and they couldn't even look at Saturn. And Venus is off limits as well, and that kind of gets me questioning because apparently Nikola Tesla is from Venus, so who knows. I mean, most of their bases are holographically covered, so he said that like their doors are like holographic and all this stuff. Anyways, like I said, you can check out his videos of interviews on duckduckgo.com, because if you try to look them up on YouTube, I mean, they're on YouTube, but if you try to look them up from YouTube search bar, they're shadow banned, so you won't find them on the first page or the second page. So duckduckgo.com and then click videos. Okay, so let me get into questions. Hi, so I grew up in a religious household and I've always been interested in the paranormal and Earth not being the only life out there. When I was little, I used to get these weird thoughts where it would randomly pop up in my head that the world isn't real, I wasn't real, and everything I have isn't real. Until now, I was able to control my nerves when I would think of it and talk about it, because before it was just scary for me to think of. I want to know why this is or why it happened. If it was nothing, should I be worried about it? Or is it just a random scenario in my head? Love your videos and your podcast, Jennifer. Hi, Jennifer. Thank you. And okay, wow, I haven't heard or met anyone else who has had the same experience as me. I always felt this too. I think I mentioned this in an episode, but they were random moments where I would just pause and I felt as nothing was real. My family isn't real. I knew that we went to the infinity after we die. Like, I knew that we were just having an experience, that my life and my personality isn't real. It was so strange. And I never told anyone this. I think I mentioned that too. And when I mentioned it in another episode. So when I asked my parents about it, they were like, no, you never said anything like that. And I was like, But I almost felt like I was living a character in a cartoon, or at least that's how I associated it with as a kid, because I was like, maybe this is just a cartoon and I'm just living a fake show. But you're not alone, because I always felt this and I always wondered the same thing. I personally think now that as kids, our psychic abilities were much stronger. And since we are basically not from this earth, we're a part of the volunteers, our alien souls was trying to tell us something, or was having a hard time adjusting. I definitely think that there was more to it than just dissociation, because I've heard that term as well. And I tried to not self-diagnose myself, but like try to look at the symptoms and see if they were the same. I always thought it was that, but I don't think it was. But I'm glad I'm not the only one. because I remember this happening all the time between the ages of like 3 to 10. But I think now that I know more about this stuff and our souls and everything, I think we can take that and realize that nothing really does matter. And this will help us get more aligned with our authentic selves. Like I said, drop the labels, drop the programming, because I think that's the reason why we don't get that feeling anymore, because we've been so programmed. I hope that helps. And I hope you're not scared and just change this from a different perspective and look at it as nothing matters. So you shouldn't worry about the little things. Okay, next one. Hi, Kelsey. I've been following you since your OG TikTok account, and I'm loving your podcast every time I hear you talking about your spiritual journey or ego and some of your books, even little quirks you have like your nervous laugh or vocal highlights. I'm always being reminded of Christina Lopez. She's a spiritual and higher self coach. I wonder, have you listened to any of her content? If not, I highly recommend you give a few of her videos a try. She has so much available on YouTube. I feel you'll resonate with her. That's all. And I can't wait till next Friday. Good luck with the new job. Aw, thank you. That made my day. She's so good. I actually have watched some of her content before, but that's so sweet that I remind you of her because her content is amazing. But honestly, like, thank you so much. That really did make my day. Next one. Hi, let me just start off that I love your podcast and keep up the good work. Keep spreading information. People need to wake up. Well, my question is about the British royal family, like what you think about Princess Diana's death, because a lot of things didn't make sense, like the time of her death and where she was, etc. And of course, we know about Prince Andrew. Do you think all of them are linked to the pedophile ring? I just want to know what you think of the royal family in general. Hello. Well, thank you for the support. And due to all the royal people who attend these secret clubs and societies, not to mention Prince Andrew's allegations or the Queen, because she's a reptilian, and that's just a fact for me now, I definitely think so. No. I know that they are directly linked to pedophilia. There has been so many reports on there even being naked children jumping out of the windows in the palace. I also believe I saw something where they use Princess Diana as a sacrifice. There's theories that she was pregnant at her death. I haven't dived deep into the royal family or the theory of them killing her, but if we're connecting the dots to all the people who attend like the Bohemian Grove or the Bloodlines, I definitely believe that it has something to do with the satanic stuff that they do. Next one. Hi, I followed you since the beginning and look forward to anything and everything you put out. My question is, are there any country music artists that are bad or evil? It's so hard to listen to music without questioning whether they are good or bad. Much love, Diana. Y'all are really just about to make me cry. You guys are so sweet. Hi, Diana. Thank you. And ironic because I just answered a Princess Diana question. But okay, so I have also been wondering the same thing because I love country music. I haven't looked into it yet, but I'm going to add that to the list. I know that some music artists like XXXTentacion or whatever, I don't know how to say his name, I'm sorry, don't judge me. Even though he wasn't country, he added healing frequencies to his music, and so did John Lennon. There's actually a theory that they killed John Lennon for having the 528 hertz frequency in his music, because that frequency is supposed to repair your DNA. And I recommend you listen to it. There's some good Spotify playlist. I meditate to either 528 or higher other frequencies. And I wouldn't doubt that they did kill John Lennon or even XXXTentacion. I said that's so weird. I wouldn't doubt that they killed them because, like I said, these frequencies do us good rather than the music that they actually put out. But I will look more into country music because I've been wondering the same thing. I'm like, are these people a part of it? You know? But thank you. Hey girl, OG follower here. So what's your thoughts on Cardi B constantly getting humiliated publicly because of Offset cheating? I saw a video where she says in her live that she believes in Jesus and she emphasized on that. And someone said that the celebs and elites never mention Jesus, just God. So I thought that was pretty weird. And now she's getting divorced supposedly. Anyways, have a good one. Sending love. Hello. So, okay, the distinction between Jesus and God in this context is because the God that they are referring to is obviously Satan, and Jesus had the real God's consciousness, which we all are able to tap into. Some call it Christ consciousness, the all-loving consciousness, but that's what Jesus was trying to help us do, teach us to be like him and tap into that true being. There's a book I'm reading right now. Well, one of the books I'm reading, because like I said, you guys know I read like 9 at a time. But the one I mentioned in the beginning, the This Moment Is Your Miracle. And it's on my Amazon book list if you guys want to check it out. It's on my links, my books links. But this book even talks about Christ consciousness and how they've programmed us away from it. Even Elizabeth April, ironically enough, even posted a video this week about the Christ consciousness and Jesus because she channels him all the time. But anyway, to answer your question, I think it could be a couple things. Humiliation is a huge Illuminati ritual. Most of the times it's to prove to them that you're loyal or to punish you because you weren't behaving. Or it could be a distraction, maybe because she is mentioning Jesus and they want you to not listen to her. I don't know. It could be a lot of things, but I have been seeing her pop up a lot on my Twitter feed. I think one of her nudes was released too, but she's been made fun of a lot. So that's really suspicious. But like I said, I haven't paid attention to recent news, so I just get whatever you guys send me or I see on my feed. But that was a really good observation. I'm proud of you. Keep questioning things. All right, next one. Have you seen the court cases against Trump, the sex he had with those multiple children, and with Epstein? It's all public records. He paid off all those kids. Yes, I have seen those. And that's what I don't understand that some people don't see or they disregard. People come up with all these excuses that these allegations are fake or just purposely put out there against Trump. But I honestly don't believe that. Quite honestly, I don't believe anything, but there is just something about him that rubs me off the wrong way, and I can see through him. I didn't mention that he is working for the light, according to all these channelers and all these light workers, but this is my take on it. I don't think he's conscious about it. Like, I don't think he's like channeling the light or anything like that. I don't think he knows what he's doing. But I think the light beings are using him as a catalyst to shake up the world and make them wake up. And a lot of other channelers have said the same thing. So I think he has done some awful things in the past, and maybe that made him a good catalyst because that got people to start questioning things like, how can someone claim to be helping the children if he allegedly also raped kids? So I definitely think he's a trigger and it's working. And the light is using him for that reason, if that makes sense. All right, guys, that was the last one for this week. If you have any questions or feedback, you know where to go, @WokeWithKels. The link is in my bio. Thank you so much for sticking around with my crazy mind for 13 episodes. Well, technically 26, counting the bonuses, but wow, that's crazy. I can't believe I've been on this since July. I started like end of July. It's October. That's so crazy. But thank you all so much for sticking around and for all the love and support. Sending you guys lots of love, and I hope you have an amazing day. I still don't know if I'm posting a bonus next week. Like I said, I'm trying to cut down on bonuses, but if not, I will just post on Friday. I will most likely talk about either the Vatican or more about alien stuff like Bermuda Triangle. I did say I was going to talk about the Bermuda Triangle this episode. I forgot. I totally forgot until now. But, I mean, it does tie in with the portals that he talked about. They're called Stargate portals. I'm about to go off on a tangent again, so I'm not going to do that. So if I have time, I'll research more into it and post a bonus on it. Or if not, I'll make a crazy episode up on Friday. Don't forget to keep loving yourself and others. Keep questioning everything and drop the labels. Love you guys. Bye.